M29, number 2A.
Come now to cassette number 2. I'm going to announce the number so that when you listen to the tape recording that you always know where we are. So we come to cassette number 2. Well, we stopped yesterday in the middle of those fourfold sequences that illustrate Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science. And so I asked you perhaps to think out a few other ones that you know. Did you find some others that symbolize the fourfold order? Yes. The four cardinal points of the compass, yes. What have they to do really with metaphysics, those four cardinal points? Yes, Mrs. Eddy uses them as a symbol, huh? Not as a metaphysical idea, but a symbol for a metaphysical idea. Does only Mrs. Eddy use them, or is there, and the Bible uses them very definitely? Hmm? In Genesis, yes, the four rivers are there also. Huh? Just a moment, thank you. Yes, so the Bible right at the beginning introduced us always that fourfold calculus. You meant with the four rivers, Bill, in Genesis, yes. And then all through the Old Testament, we always have indications from the north and from the east and from the south and to the west, so that they took that symbol of the compass to illustrate the word as the north. Why the north? Why do you, yes, it's the guiding. Why is the north guiding? Yes, yes, because they had the North Star as a guiding point, a very fixed point, according to which they always could guide their ships and so on. It was a fixed point of the North, the guiding star of Revelation, yes. Why did they use the East for the Christ? That's an interesting point, yes. The rising sun also, and also the Christ, yes. Why did the Christ always come from the east? That was actually a practical illustration, because they could see that every new idea came always from the east, never from the west at that time. And then we have the south as Christianity, and actually very much the West as science, as we know even today. You see, that symbol has lasted on and on over nearly 3,000 years, that the West is that direction where science comes from, or you go to the West. The whole development there from the East to the West over the last 2,000 years. The discoverer went from Europe to America, not the other way around. Science was born in the West and was always more unfolded and in the West than in the East. Still today, we talk about the West as if the West would be the scientific countries and the East more the mystical countries. So that symbol has always remained all through the biblical history. Yes. So we have here, you could put down here, huh, the north, the east, the south, the west, but naturally we must know what stands behind such a natural symbol. That's always more important than just the symbol itself. A symbol by per se has no value, has no power, has no saving activity. All that there is necessary is that we can translate those natural symbols into ideas. What other symbols did you find during the night? Yes, line, plane, space, yes, fourth dimension. I repeat it because you don't speak loud enough for the tape. Yes, that's what Mrs. Eddy uses in prose work, that she depicts the four dimensions of science, that she says that science really presents that divine infinite calculus defining the line, plane, space, and fourth dimension of spirit. Now, again, this seems to be rather a geometrical symbol, and we have to translate it into ideas and see what is meant by these four expressions. Why is the line a symbol for the word? It is one-dimensional, yes, and it goes into a straight line. Now, why is that the word? We only explained now the line through another geometrical symbol. Yeah, yeah. The word has only one direction, so to say, because it is always the direction from man to God. And this direction is a very straight and narrow way, as Jesus would say. It is not so that all roads lead to Rome. The Word of God is the only straight and narrow path that leads to the divine principle, and therefore right at the beginning of this line of thinking, this line of light, as we also call it, this line of light is depicting that straight line of the 7 days of creation by which we really ascend and approach up to God. So that's why the line is that straight and narrow way, the way of life. It's the way of the word of life. It's showing that there is only one absolutely ordered way of how to approach God. That's through the 7 stages of the 7 days of creation. This is so important because, you know, in the world one wants to be tolerant, one wants to be universal, and therefore one says, well, everything leads to Rome, every way leads to Rome, all way leads to Rome. Well, in a way that's true, but who likes to go around about ways? It's whereas the science says, no, there is one direct line. It's a direct line. That one way is a direct line, the straight and narrow way, which says, start with mind, then from mind go to spirit, and then from there to soul, to principle, life, truth, and love. And there is no roundabout it. There is no evading the creative order of the Word of God. Actually, you can go through any kind of experience and all roundabout and then finish up somewhere through suffering also in the way of science. But science itself has only one way. Science itself is very strict. Just as addition is addition, and addition is not at the same time subtraction and multiplication and division and I don't know what. That's the purpose, really, of the whole textbook and of the Bible, to teach us that one way, the way of life, which is the Word. All right, so we have here the line as a symbol. See, therefore, that line is not the geometrical line. It's a symbol. It's, in a way, one-dimensional because it says there is only one way of doing it, not many ways. When we come to the Christ, she symbolizes it through the plane. Now, a plane, you could say, well, it's already two-dimensional, but why on earth should be a plane a symbol for the Christ? This is what we have to know. Yes? Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Is Christ going back to God? Yes, yes, it goes a bit on into Christianity. So what would therefore the plane mean in Christ? Why is the plane a symbol of the Christ? You have a two-way sense, you mean, huh? But the one is the Word, huh? Going up is the Word. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, yes. Uh-huh. Yes. It's the second of those two movements, yes. Yeah. Back to God, yes, uh-huh. That would be another interpretation. What does the Christ really do Yes. From one level, you would say, what is the one level that from where it was, what the principle, huh? Yes. And now, if it translates itself, you could also, couldn't we also say, well, there is only one way of translation, namely from principle to idea, so it would also be a line, huh? A one-way procedure. But the principle translates itself, you say, to another level. What is that other level? To human experience? Yes. To the objective level? Yeah. Must it always translate itself to the human level? What does the... That's actually the first translation tell us that. The translation of immortal mind. That it translates the divine principle to a human level. To all four levels, that's another translation. So you can see something that it translates to any plane of thought, huh? To various planes of thought, to various levels of thought. That's the plane. It's much easier than that. If you take the first translation, which we call the first translation of immortal mind, then what is translated? Translated is there the divine principle. That's how it starts. And it's translated down to where? To idea. So the translation is what you say from the level of principle, from the generalities, from the one, translated to the plane of ideas, therefore of the verification and variation of expression of that principle. The one translated to the many, to any plane of experience, to any plane of thought, to any plane of human or divine or spiritual existence. Everything is taken in. So it translates itself not only to one point, but to every plane. Or you can say, what is a plane? A plane is a field of many points. It consists of many points. Therefore, what we see in the crisis, this terrific thing, that the one translates itself to the infinite, to the infinitude, I must say, I think, to infinite ideas. Huh? From the infinite one comes one principle, and the infinite idea. Therefore, that's the plane that the Christ touches every point in being. It comes to every plane of spiritual thought, of mortal thought, of human experience, of divine experience. Everything is taken in. It comes to every level of experience or plane of experience. Yes, that's what is meant by the plane. Then we come to the space. Christian, yes? Yes. Yes, you can do that. Yes, absolutely. It is that terrific scanner which is there, which says that the divine principle can say, I can touch any point on any plane or level of experience, to any one of them. Now we come to space as Christianity. Why is space Christianity? Just try it. We are not locked in. Yes. Why is space as a geometrical symbol really illustrating Christianity? What is Christianity in that sense? Yes. You get now... If you get inter-reflection of idea, you get a spatial sense. Now, how else could we explain that? What other term could we take instead of space? realm. A space is a realm. Now, in Christianity, you really have a realm, namely the outcome of the divine, of the Christ idea in human experience, in Christian history, and so on. It shows that the whole realm of our experience is therefore filled with those Christ ideas, with the Christ translation. So that the Christ, can you see, first gives us the reason for Christianity. It says, Christianity is only possible because before Christianity you have that very fact that the principle of being always translates itself to every point of experience, to every plane of experience. Well, if it does that, that's the principle of the Christ, then what happens if that Christ translates it constantly and constantly and constantly and constantly and constantly to every plane of experience, to every point of experience, to every point of our life? Well, it gives a whole realm, it gives a whole realm of being, so that we say the whole realm of our existence, the whole life experience that we have is filled, that's a good point, filled, that's Christianity. You can't fill a plane. A plane cannot be filled, a line cannot be filled, a plane cannot be filled, but the space can be filled. It's filled with God's ideas. We could see here that Christianity gives us a spatial sense, a realm sense, a sense of a kingdom, of a universe. All these are ideas that characterize really Christianity. We see that again when we come to the Christianity order, that the moment we are focusing, so to say, on the realm of being, on the universe including man, when that is in focus, then we are always talking about Christianity. We are no more talking about God, the Word, which is the cause of this realm. We are no more talking then about the Christ, which is that which translates that God to the point of experience. Then when we have infinite experiences, then we have the realm, we have Christianity. I wonder if that's clear. Yeah? Sometimes when I look at the faces, I'm not quite sure. Yeah. Yeah. So you get the realm sense, the spatial sense. And up to here, can you see that she speaks not about geometrical line, plane, space, but spiritual concepts of line, plane, space? So this is necessary to see, or else we misunderstood the fourth one. Namely, she says the fourth science is the fourth dimension of spirit. So did we put that down? Did you have time to put that down in our list? Line in the Word, plane in the Christ, space in Christianity, then fourth dimension in science, Now, now she speaks about line, plane, space, and fourth dimension of spirit. Now, the point is that this of spirit relates to all four, not just to the fourth dimension of spirit. It is the line of spirit, the plane of spirit, the space of spirit, and the fourth dimension of spirit. So we must not think like the physicists think, that they say, yes, up to the point of Einstein, we only had a universe that was three-dimensional, and those three dimensions were material, geometrical dimensions, and then Einstein came and said, well, there is a fourth dimension, and that's time, and so you have to take in a fourth dimension, but that dimension is not the geometrical dimension, therefore it's another kind of dimension, it's the spiritual dimension. So in that way, the ordinary man always thinks of three material dimension plus now a fourth spiritual dimension. As we should not think that way. We should see that all four dimensions are spiritual. They are dimensions of spirit. Just as the Word is a dimension of spirit. It's absolutely spiritual if we develop according to the days of creation. That's a spiritual, that's not a material dimension. And so it is with the Christ. This is not the plane, the flat land, the plane, where we just have a two-dimensional world, like they had in the ancient times when they didn't know that the world was round. They were flatlanders. We talk about the Christ as a spiritual idea, which illustrates the plane concept, that it comes to every level of thought. And so with space, it is, as it has been said, really that realm where idea reflects idea, where we have the blendings of idea, therefore where the whole universe is filled with ideas. Now the fourth dimension is a difficult one, because Mrs. Eddy doesn't explain what she means with the fourth dimension. And we have to see that this fourth dimension is, so to say, the dimension that now shows that everything happens within science, that we live and move and have our being actually in science, and that in that science we can understand, so to say, the line, the plane, and the space of spirit. Yes. Do we have another one that we would like to discuss? Yes. Yes, I think that's a good illustration. I didn't remember it just at the moment, but as you said, I think it's a very good illustration that the globe is space, but when it is transparent, so to say, then it has, that's the fourth dimension. the comprehension. All right. We go on to the next one. There are so many nice ones still to be discussed. Yes? Yeah. You have the omni. Huh? Yeah. So you have, the word is what? Omnipotence. Yes. The word is omnipotence. Perhaps we write those first down. And the Christ is omniscience. Huh? Omniscience, omniscience. Yes. Christianity is omnipresence, yes, and science, omni-action, yes. Did you get that? Where does Mrs. Eddy explain these four? Yeah, just speak out loud, yes. In the glossary, under what term? No. Under the term good. So she defines good as God's spirit, good as God's spirit, and then she gives these four. So one can see that in this way she gives quite a high sense of good, namely that good which has a connotation of God. Good is a derivation of God. And so she explains here God, good, and again spirit, in order to make it very clear that this omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence and omniaction has nothing to do with the material sense of things, but is wholly spiritual. And so we must see that in that light. Now, why is the word omnipotence?